Yes, and I had read the sixth verse, and we're going on to the seventh.
Okay.
I just wanted to say that if you would like your children to enjoy a great animated movie, Prince of Egypt is a wonderful movie, and it isn't totally scriptural. I can concur with that. It isn't totally scripture, but it is an interesting twist to a plot and that we are all familiar with in Exodus. And I believe your children would really appreciate, especially the plagues and the growing up of Moses and what he does with the people. It was very fascinating to me, Darren, and I enjoyed watching the whole thing, even though I've read about it for years and years. Our granddaughter Hannah and I watched it. Oh, it was a blessing for me to watch it. Here in Exodus 12, verse 7, the Lord is saying to Moses, moreover, and he's giving him total detailed instruction as to what to do. That means they have no excuse for not doing it. God always gave detailed instruction for everything. He says, they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and on the lintel for the houses in which they eat it. And they shall eat the flesh that same night, roasted with fire, and they shall eat it with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. Now, did you notice, Darren, that you put the blood on the doorposts and the lintel? It almost does parallel the shape of a cross. And I've noticed that, and I was taught that years ago, that there's such great parallel between the door, which is the opening and of the going in and out of your domain, to the cross, in which Jesus opened up a whole new world to us by the blood on the cross. And I really feel that is a great parallel there. And also, when they roasted that lamb, that one-year-old lamb, and every household had a lamb, and if you were a stranger or sojourner, a Jew, but you were alone, you could go in with a family and enjoy this Passover. And they ate the meat. They roasted the meat, and they ate that meat that night. Now, it reminds me of when Jesus introduced the communion in the New Testament. He says, eat my flesh. Well, they actually did eat the flesh of the sacrificed lamb here in Exodus. And it gave them nourishment for their physical body. And we're going to learn later, the communion gives us nourishment for our entire being. That's so glorious. Praise the Lord. So here it shows that Moses was instructed to teach the people. And verse 13, if you'd like to read that.
Well, I was looking at some of the other verses here. But
okay.
One of the things I think was interesting is that anything that's left over till morning, you know, then to burn it with fire. And I believe that he was saying, this is holy unto me, and you don't just discard it. Mm-hmm. I feel the same way about communion, and some of our Catholic brothers and sisters or their priesthood there would have a better understanding of communion than some Protestants. For example, they wouldn't throw away any of what they call the host elements. In other words, they bless the cup and they bless the bread, and then it's to be consumed. Well, if it does become special, then we shouldn't just say, well, we have too much grape juice here or too much wine, let's just pour it down the sink and go on. No, they would consume the whole thing. And I'm not sure that you need to carry it to that extreme, but I would say this, only bless what you know you're going to consume. And at the end of our communion services, we always have one of our men that we really trust come up and drink the rest of the cup. And then if we have some crackers left over, whatever, we save those until the next time. We don't just discard that and say, well, that's not good. We'll just throw that away.
Mm-hmm, that's right.
So, verse 13.
Why don't we go back to 12, as you were saying?
We'll go ahead and read it.
Okay. And the Lord, again, is instructing Moses. Let's go back to 11. Now you shall eat it in this manner, with your loins girded, with your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. Now, where did the word Passover come from? We're going to learn right now why it is called Passover, and why did God ask them to eat it with their sandals on? That means they did not go to bed that night. They ate together, they fellowshiped together, and they were ready for a journey. They were all prepared. They had been told by Moses and the elders, you are going to get up and go out of Egypt. This is the great exodus of Egypt. So I will go through the land of Egypt on that night and will strike down all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt. See, Darren, that's why I appreciate your teaching on all these plagues were symbols of the gods of Egypt, because God is here saying, against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgments. I am the Lord.
Well, then the next verse says, and the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you live. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and no plague shall befall you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. Mm. I believe that as we take communion, as we understand communion, we will know that in a New Testament concept, that we are drawing close to the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. And many times, I say, Lord, I just want to cleanse myself with the power of the blood. And I will go through a little, you might call it a ceremony, but I'll put my hand on my midsection, say I cover my spirit, I touch my forehead, I cover my mind, put my hand on top of my head, I cover my whole body with the blood of Jesus. And I say, for example, I'm being cleansed now because I've walked into a place where there's a lot of spiritual defilement, and I want the blood of Jesus, which is a spiritual concept, but it's a real concept. I want the blood of Jesus to cleanse me from that or to bring me protection. Sometimes if I know I'm going to be in a situation where I really need divine protection, for example, if we want to go on a trip, you know, we'll say, we cover ourselves with the blood of Jesus. We declare we'll be safe here. And it's saying this plague or whatever the devil has planned for us cannot come on us. Mm-hmm. And some of you parents need to do that. When you send your children off to school, you need to say, I cover you with the power of the blood of Jesus. They need to learn that from a young age upward. And when they have that in their consciousness and when they're understanding, it won't be a new concept to them as adults.
Mm-hmm. I believe, Darren, that Passover is a wonderful ceremony given to the people by God in the Old Testament. But I agree with you. It doesn't have the power that communion has. Communion brings health, and it does keep away disease and plagues. It really does, because we see here that Jehovah Rapha is our God. He is our healer. And he brings these wonderful blood covenants to us for our good. He's already healed. He's already perfect. Who does he give this for? He gives this for his people. Now, why is blood so important? Why is the sprinkling of blood so important? We see here that when Moses took the blood and he sprinkled it on the people. We see that in Exodus 24:8. And he says, behold the blood of the covenant which the Lord has made with you in accordance to all these words. And he sprinkled a lot of the people, Darren, all the time. He was sprinkling people to cleanse them from their sins. It was almost a symbolic thing to cleanse them from their sins. Why is blood so important? Why blood?
Well, it has life. Blood has life. And a fellow told me one time, matter of fact, he was a lay minister, and he just asked me, taught me a concept by asking me a question. Here's a question. He said, Darren, what happens when a person bleeds to death? And I said, well, I've heard that you cut an artery, and after a certain period of time, if you lose enough blood pressure, you know, we call that death. And he says, yes, but technically what happens? And here's what he taught me. He said, you know, when that blood ceases to flow and carry that life force, which is what we're talking about, the essence of communion here, when it ceases to carry that life force around the vital organs of your body, i.e. your heart and your brains, your internal organ, and particularly your brain, then we have what we call a cessation of life, and then we have physical death. Because that life force was no longer carried in that bloodstream, it's a mysterious process, I know. But there's life in the blood, and he teaches us that concept all the way through Scripture. But the life in the blood of the animal could only cover the sins.
I believe it's symbolic of what happened in the Garden of Eden, and it's really good, Darren. I believe that in the Garden of Eden, everything was perfect. When Adam and Eve sinned, they saw their nakedness. They were without clothing. They saw that they were different from God now. They weren't perfect with God anymore. They were defiled. And so what did they do? God had to kill an animal and put skins on Adam and Eve. I know they covered themselves with fig leaves, but then God himself, he performed the first sacrifice and the bloodletting of the first animal to cover that sin. And that's symbolic of all of the sacrifices in the Old Testament, covering of that sin.
Now, why did he cover them with skin?
Because they were defiled. They had committed
sin. They had
sin. Yes.
So I believe that was the first covering in a sense.
Yes.
Where God says, well, we're going to cover this up. You know, you're not going to be able to take it away because Jesus hasn't yet died and shed his mm-hmm. blood. Mm-hmm. But you referred to Exodus 24 where the sprinkled blood, he took this in a basin And he sprinkled it on the people. And one of the reasons was God had prepared the meal for them. And I find this Exodus